Righty-ho. Here we are. Well, the wishing machine. Yeah, I wish I had a wishing machine. It would take me back in time about 20 minutes, and then I'll be, that'd be fine. So, yes, what does the time fly? I would like to apologize for being so late. It's the first time I've ever done that. Slept through the beginning of my show, which is normally in the middle of the night, so that's a first. But it is 2015. This is going to be a strikingly unusual year, I think. I think that this is the year where things happen for the first time.
That's because I just decided that that's what's going to be. I mean, there are things that we're waiting for, we could do with those. So, I've lit my stove because it's freezing in here. I mean, I have no central heating in my little stone cottage. It has to be warmed up by stone, by fireplaces, by burning things. It does warm up pretty quickly, but it's still quite cold in here, so probably warm by the top of the hour. Yes, maybe that's right. Well, anyway, hello. So, I would appreciate calls on 310-421-4053. That's 310-421-4053. That's the Revolution Radio number. And if you're in the UK, 0141-356-4141. 0141-356-4141. And if you're in the States, you can call 775-773-3431. Right, with all that number salad out of the way, what's trying to think. You know, the best cup of tea is the first one in the morning, or the first one after you wake up. Let's not say words like morning. I was thinking about different words, because you know we're working on a sort of international timeline basis. You know, I'm talking with people in Australia and people in the States all the time. And, you know, you join a group and some people are ready to bed and some people have just woken up and some people are in the middle of the day, you know, depending on what time zone you're in. So I've been trying to think of different words to describe that we're all here and awake. Because, you know, we might say good morning, but it's not morning somewhere else, like, you know. So I was thinking, you know, we need something like good wakening and happy sleepening and things like that instead of good morning and good evening. So there we go. Yeah, so I hope everybody's fine. I'd like to talk to somebody. I don't think I can do this on my own today. Yeah. So that's all good. It's lovely to see you all. What news? I don't know if I've even done anything. Well, you know, I tell you what, this week, I don't know, let's talk, let's see if anybody else has had this, and call in if you have. Has anybody been unable to wake up or get up, or have you been ill, or have you appeared to have been ill? Have you appeared to have had a flu in the last week? Many people have been complaining about this kind of fatigue kind of symptoms. And certainly, I felt a very kind of low drain. He's to me. I shouldn't look at the chat room. Oh, that's good. And a refreshing cup of tea. Yeah. No, I really do need a call in. Someone call in. Yeah, my mind hasn't even switched on. Yes, there. Now we know. Let's go. Let's go. There's some people. Oh yes. Let's see if
Yes, all these mother hens. Morning, Nancy. Oh, somebody's calling you. All right, that's great. Yeah. All right. So, that's great. My good friend and co-producer, Nancy Hopkins, will be on with me soon once she's off the phone. It always happens. She calls me in and beep, and she's taken off. So, anyway, there you go. Mm. So, Nancy, you're back. No. So, we're going to be joined by Saturday's guest of Solaris Blue Raven's Witching Hour. We were enjoying listening to that the other day. Are you there? Are you there, Nancy? No. Oh, I heard a little echo, as if that somebody was there. Well, well, well. Ah, yes. So, the old team.
Hi, I'm here. I'm here.
There you are.
It was one of those calls I really had to address.
Of course.
So, you all right, Jay?
Yeah. Well, just I woke up.
Well, we had, we got to talk, and Colleen and I, we got a little bit concerned because we know that you have that heater thing in there and fills with smoke, and we had to fight off the negative thoughts, I'll tell you, Jay.
Dun, 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 20 minutes late, and this is what happens. 20 minutes late, and I'm already a corpse, and you buried me, and you've spoken to my family, and...
yep. Well, we didn't know where your family was. We said, my God, we'd be in a screwy position because we don't have much contact with you except over this media.
Yeah, it would be funny, wouldn't it? I died or something. Oh.
Always well, comes. We love you. I'm glad you reincarnated.
So good morning. Oh, well, yeah, so... Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, meanwhile, here is Nancy Hopkins. You were talking on Saturday with Solaris. What a wonderful show that was.
One went well, yeah.
Solaris is such a kind of 90-mile-an-hour talker. I was amazed that you're able to keep up with her really well.
Well, I'd never spoken to her. So when she started off, I went, is there something wrong with my equipment? Nobody talks that fast. I said, no, my God, she amazed me. I love the fact that she could talk that fast because people actually hear words at a faster rate than most people talk. That's why people will zone out when you're talking to them. You're talking too slow.
All right. That's interesting. Because she's... there's two guests that I've had that I like. That's Laura Eisenhower and Solaris. And I think we managed to get them together once. That was quite an interesting... High density. Let's say high density. But there's... there's a software that Cliff High. Do you know who Cliff High is? You
heard of him? Yes.
One of his side projects is a piece of software that you throw it at a piece of text and it plays a text one word at a time, but really quickly.
Wow!
And he can. That's why he can read so much, because he uses this software and it's like injecting it into the brain. It's very quick.
So this software takes a written material and puts it into a faster speech pattern so you can absorb more?
Yeah, like a flashcard, but like running at 20 times a second.
Wow, I want one of them.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's got it sort of available somewhere. But it is a marvelous piece. So you're right. We can hear words that are much faster than we can speak.
We had a girl when I was in the military in the base, my base officer training thing, and she could talk faster than, your head would virtually start swirling around. She talked so fast, but that was one of the things that I could understand her, and you never stopped listening to her. She could hold your attention because she could fill your head so much with so much information. It was interesting, and that's when I found out about that. The ability of the human brain to comprehend the voice, it's like an amazingly faster rate if people could talk that fast that you'd understand it.
Well, you know those little there's an advert that I do for Sean, which describes his book, which is incredibly lengthy. The little speech that I make, and when I read it out, I speak much slower than Sean does, obviously. By the time I read this out in my normal speaking voice, it was about 2.5 minutes long, and it's like, well, it's supposed to be a 1 minute commercial. It's like, Sean, there's just too many words in here. No, I want them all. Okay, so I used software to pull all the gaps out between the words.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, to compress the voice. And that's what you hear when you're listening to the advert. So it's accelerated speech. Because there's no gaps between the two. I say all the words, run on with no words.
Well,
yeah. So, well, how's January going for you? Have you had lots of orders? Is the Shungite business going all right?
Well, interestingly, okay, I was on Solaris's show at midnight Saturday night, and since then I've had. Well, this when I opened up the computer today, there was like somewhere around 15 or 16 orders just from that one show. So
awesome. That goes to,
yeah, you get one show that, you know, people are listening to you and you can do very well. And I so thank all those people that did make the orders. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. It's not going away. We just keep getting more empirical evidence that, yes, everything that, you know, we're finding out about it is true. So I see. Well, this week I've been working with Stephanie on putting it into a nonprofit organization because I'm still blind to the search engines. If you try to search, Shungite store, that word, you're not going to find us. Because I haven't done the search enhancement to make them pick up on you, right? If you put in cosmic reality, you will. If you put in Shungite on EMF, you will, because we've got more information than other people do. But once I do the enhancement on the search, then we're going to get a lot more visibility and therefore a lot more traffic. So I want to set up the nonprofit corporation so that I really can, you know, in a professional kind of way, bring in the people that are waiting to help us. We've got a lot of people out there willing to help us. And this new Bucky Band-Aid, have you made the Bucky Band-Aid? Have you played
with that? Have I made a Bucky Band-Aid? No, I haven't. But I do have some pieces around me that, I tell you what, I've been sleeping on the bag. Just on the bag. You know, I got a bag of small Shungite pieces. And it's, you know, it's a big Ziploc bag, and I've just got it under my pillow. I haven't used it. I've got the whole bag under my pillow. So I've got I'm sleeping on a whole bunch of Shungite as well. It's lovely. It's really lovely.
Well, the Bucky bag is so interesting because what happened was that I was now I've got Kathy Bourbon, who's virtually a professional researcher for me. She just goes out and finds the most amazing things because I don't have time to search the net anymore. And there's a new report that came out from Israel that said that, and I told you about this on the show before, about the cancer in the salivary gland that's directly related to the use of cell phones. And so I got, you know, real concerned again because I got two friends, one that's got a mass that just got biopsied and another one that had cancer in the cheek. So I, you know, it's just like, oh my God, you know, this is something I didn't know and it made me think about the cell phones again. So I told Walt we need something that we can get out cheap but that is extremely effective, and within, you know, 30 seconds he had it in his head. I don't know how he does this. And he got me the product a couple of days later. And it's based on the powder, Jay. So, you know, and you go, well, why would a pinch of powder be so amazingly effective? And it's because of it's like when you're getting into the quantum concept of science, the smaller the better. The smaller the more perfect. The smaller the more powerful, more forceful. So when you take, and we've learned that if you have three Shungite nuggets or more, in close proximity that the fields begin to react on each other, and each field sort of like the group field is bigger than the sum of the three. You know what I'm saying?
A synergy.
So, yeah. So when you've got the powder, it's like having a bunch of teeny little nuggets, but you've got 100, 150, 200, who knows how much is in that powder, you know, is nugget bits. So the overall effect is that the powder as a field of energy is much more powerful. And then we use the aluminum tape, and what you do basically is you take aluminum tape, you put some of the powder on it, you put another label type of thing that will seal off the powder, and you put it on your phone. Well, when you do that, the aluminum tape is throwing the entire field into the telephone. And it's actually interacting with the system itself. It goes way beyond the telephone. It's just astounding. I mean, I know a lot about the subject, but this one surprised me. It was so powerful. So we're making these Bucky Band-Aids.
So,
and selling them in the store.
So the Bucky, this power. So yes, this is fascinating because I've had a thought about making a shoe insert.
Well, we did that.
You have.
That's the Bucky Band-Aid because years ago I told you the story about nectar and getting this amazing energy, and one of the things that we realized at the time was that we could take the energy and get it in water, just like you would an elixir, like a homeopathic elixir, only it's based on minerals, gem minerals. And we had two dozen different gem minerals in this thing, and it was, magic potion. But what we found out was that by actually charging water, we could make inner soles that you would, you know, or foam-based inner soles you'd put in your shoe, because a foam inner sole is like 33% water. So we got this company to use our water in the process, and by God, the foam picked up the charge. So when we finally realized, okay, we've got something that we can work with, we had a doctor who was very much into, you know, he was very progressive in his thinking, and he brought in patients of his that right after work where they'd be the most stressed out. And so he'd get them on a stress machine, he'd take a reading on them, and then we would put the inner soles in their shoes, and he would have them still on the stress machine, and within 5 minutes, all of them had absolutely no stress registered. So we knew that it was affecting the body, that we really were having an effect on it. So then we took it over to Florida International University to their sports lab. And we did the same things, but this time we had athletes. And so the athletes would go through the regime of whatever exercising program they had running. And then they would put the shoe, put the inner sole in the shoes. Now, they just run through it, so they should be less than better. And it was blowing them out. I mean, the people there could not understand even why these athletes who had just been tested are now testing so much higher. So then my partner, now this is a guy that, you know, was a little bit of a scammer apparently, because he doesn't tell me that he does this, but he takes the information from the university and he gets Nike shoes to actually take on the inner soles and test them out. And for a year they tested them out in their Seattle facility out there. They have a campus that's got all sorts of testing areas and stuff. And they just couldn't believe it either. But he couldn't explain it, so they didn't know how to advertise it. So they chose Air Jordan. And that we were, you know, and I never found this out, because if he had asked me, I could have given them the secret to how to advertise it. But he didn't. And so it was a year later, when he was getting divorced by his wife, that his wife told me the story. My life would have been a lot different, believe me. The world would have been a lot different, because we would have been into understanding energy and the energy universe back in the 90s instead of waiting another 20 years.
Well, maybe the world just needed to go through its process. You know, I've been looking a lot at my guidance, my the messages that I connect with my spirit guides and get messages downloaded.
whatever people call it. I still haven't got the right word for it, and I can't always stumble on, you know, describing it. But basically, I speak to my guides, my spirit guides, and I do it over the on my laptop. You know, it's a bit like having a chat. You know, like a Skype chat or something like that. I will ask a sentence, you know, a little question, and then I get a paragraph back. At first, I was very disbelieving of it. You know, I was like, I'm just making this stuff up. You know, this is rubbish. But I kept at it, and more and more, I started getting answers from it, and quite interesting answers, and answers that are slightly beyond my, what I perceive as my personality ability to be wise and to say interesting and relevant, useful things. Anyway, so the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, I've been working on a database of these, of all these little sayings, because I started out with them in a separate Word document. You know, every day was like a single Word document, and that ended up as like hundreds. And so I put them all into a database a couple of weeks ago, and I'm now starting to search them and look at them and look at what I've output over the last 15 years. And some of it is quite wise. Some of it is quite prophetic. Some of it is personal. You know, it's just about me and my friends or something like that. What's interesting is that I haven't found any references yet to Shungite or stuff like that. But maybe I haven't been looking. You know, because they'll say, oh, we will send this or we will send that. But apart from the other day. But they've never really mentioned the Shungite thing until you came along. So it really has come as a big surprise to a lot of people, I think, Shungite. That's why.
If you're doing the same thing I do when I write, like when I write the book, and I tell people this, I am not the biggest fan of cosmic reality because I wrote the book. I'm the biggest fan because I read the book. Because, you know, I would set out certain facts, and this is what's happening, the Federal Reserve System is this way and stuff. But some of the more profound stuff that's in the book, it was like, oh, what about this? And I just start writing. And you don't, I don't think of it as channeling. It's more like somebody is telling me something, and then I'm trying to translate it into something that is readable by my reader. But the number one key I have when I'm connected to that higher source, whatever it is it surprises me. I wouldn't have thought of that. I go, really? You know, I talk to myself, is that right? You know? So I suspect that you link up like I do. And the like I say, you know, it surprises me because I wouldn't have thought about a lot of the things that I actually write about. Are you there, or did you take off? Jay?
You always finish your sentences when I'm in the kitchen.
I'm sorry. You know, I ran for tea or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, because you're so used to me getting off on a tangent, and I talk for, you know, minutes, and sometimes I don't talk for minutes, and that's when you decide you have to go because I'm going to talk for minutes, and I don't. I'm sorry.
That's right. Don't be terse with me. Lay it out in full.
Yeah, but I know you can still hear me. So, you know, I mean, I do think that, you know, and I do call it downloads. It's like I get information, and so much of it recently is just surprising me. So if you were getting a download about Shungite, how are they going to explain that to you? You know, we're going to give you a magical piece of mineral that's going to change everything. You know, your mind wouldn't even have enough information in it to understand that. And that's why they wouldn't have bothered trying to tell you about it. Oh, yeah, in the future you're going to get this Shungite stuff that's going to take over everything. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah, do not be afraid of that black rock.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one time somebody asked me, what's the color of God? And I didn't even hesitate. I said, black. And the reason being is that black has all the colors, frequencies in it. But, you know, so I do kind of chuckle when I realize it's a black mineral.
Yeah, it is very, what's that word? It's not counterintuitive, but it runs counter to all these things that we say, white is good, everything's a light, and all this stuff. And here we are, we're working with something which absolutely absorbs light, that is exactly the opposite of what we've been told is all what good things are, you know.
You know, somebody in Solaris's chat room asked about colloidal silver, and, you know, had we ever played with that with shungite. And, in fact, the first wrappings that I made, pendants, I used silver. And the silver was leached right off of the wire into the shungite. And I never said anything to Walt about that, but he decided he would drop some shungite into colloidal silver, and all of the silver got leached into the shungite itself. Now, it's the only thing that I know that is absorbed by shungite. She said, why? She said, why did that happen? And I was like, well, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask about that. So you got any thoughts about that, why that would happen?
Well, what does shungite do to everything else?
It changes it.
Yeah, it takes everything that is particulate, anything that is floating around free, it'll draw into its black holes. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, people don't really realize it. It seems like just a piece of stone, but it's billions of black holes. And each of those tiny little buckyballs has got a little black hole in the middle of it, and you can throw loads of stuff. It's like a TARDIS, bigger on the inside, infinite on the inside. So, well, it's not really inside, because it takes it to another dimension, doesn't it? That's what a black hole does. It's a wormhole that goes from one dimension to another. So there's a kind of sucking force, let's say, not a sucking, more like a blotter, more like an ink blotter, that it slowly absorbs. It draws everything towards it. And it's funny, because a few months ago, right when we were first starting here, somebody said, can you put in colloidal silver? And I thought, no, it's not going to work on colloidal silver. It'll just take the silver out. And that's exactly what you just told me.
Yep. Yep. I say, I don't think of it as...
Welcome back. We're on Revolution Radio Studio B, 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 B. And we are here. It's his Journeys with JP. That's me. You hear my voice on Sean's show all the time. And my guest tonight, my dear friend, and I was going to say partner in crime. We're not doing crime. It's the opposite of crime. This is my guest, Nancy Hopkins. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing fine.
You got a mouthful of pizza. All right, so...
No, I'm good. I'm good.
So, yes, we were just talking about, you know, the mundane process of warming up pizza. What's the best way of doing it? Now, you do it in a frying pan, which gives you particular crispy qualities and stops it getting soggy. Now, I said, well, I'd put it in my flour pot oven. And you'll say... What the hell's a flour pot oven? Well, let me tell you. I've got a wood-burning stove, as I've mentioned many times on the show, which means that my only heat comes from this wood burner. I've got two. I've got one at one end of the house and one at the other. And one's in the studio room. So it's quite a large... It's a large stove, you know, in terms of size. It's about 2 feet square. And about 16 inches deep, something like that. Anyway, that it's got a large flat top that you can put things on. And I discovered that if you take a large ceramic flower pot and put it on that stove, you can put things in it that it becomes an oven, basically, just like what you have in the rest of your kitchen. An oven is simply an enclosed space that gets hot, and this does exactly that. It's a large flower pot, you know, it's about 10, 12 inches tall, and It's like a 10-inch wide base or top. And so it's upturned. It's an upturned flower pot on this stove hot plate. And I put, you know, you can put all sorts of things. You get a little foil-wrapped packet of fries, you know, oven fries, and it cooks slowly, but cook they do, and it's a really good oven. It's, you know, it's excellent. It doesn't get soggy, and it doesn't get dry. It's just a good balance. There's a little hole in the top of the pot, you know, the drainage hole. So it all works. You know, so you can make an oven out of a flower pot. I'll do a YouTube on it one day. It certainly
you really should, because it's got to be a lot cheaper than turning on an electric oven.
Well, you never know. I mean, it's like if you've got a wood burner, and it's just got a flat top and you don't have anything on it, then you're wasting half of its function, aren't you? It's got you know, you can put a, well, obviously, you know, people have these, they will do that. They, you know, you have a kettle there, and you've got a you know, you can put frying pans and stuff like that. Wood burners do more than keep you warm. They cook your food. So, there we go. So I hope that was enough time for you to munch down your pizza.
Yeah, that and trying to get the cat away from it.
Oh, the cat. Does your cat eat pizza?
Well,
he would
love to eat the pizza, but, you know, we do this balancing act. And he climbs over me, and then he pretends he wants to sit on the table next to me, and then he climbs back over, and he's the whole time he's got his eye on the pizza. So I have to be shuffling it around so he can't get it. So I don't know if he likes it, but he seems like if he had a chance, he would try it.
Well, they like to play with things. You know. They like to play with their food.
Yeah, or my food.
Huh?
Or my food. You know, they like to play with their food, but he also likes to play with my food.
That's right. That's right.
But we're good to go.
Well, there we go. So, I don't know what's going on in the chat room. Okay, well, yes, indeed. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. Oh, by the way, the seed pack. Please buy the seed pack. It's very cheap, with loads of seeds, and it'll give the station 100% of the profits go to the running of the station, and they're paying for the servers and all of that stuff, and none of it goes towards paying for Nancy's pizza. Nancy buys her own pizza, and I buy my own wood, and we all do this voluntarily. So for the first time in, what was that, 2.5 years, I turned up late. It's just not bad. Yes, I would like to when you call from the chat room, I can, you know, talking to each other, so it'd be good to hear what you're all having to say. So where were we? We're talking about, yeah. So the flower pot oven is quite marvelous. I baked potatoes in it. I baked 3 sweet potatoes in it the other day. That was quite interesting, because it sometimes gets a bit hot, you know, like at all ovens, it will, if you don't take them out in time, they'll burn. So this strange kind of sweet, sticky stuff exudes out of sweet potatoes, presumably the sugar, sort of like a caramel thing that comes out when you burn them. Tastes a bit weird when you burn them, I have to say. But anyway, the oven is good enough to burn things, certainly. And get the seed pack. The other thing you can get, which is really good, in my show, I give out a lot of information, and my guests give out an awful lot of information. And if you gathered them all together, there would be some fantastic piles of nuggets, nuggets of goodness, nuggets of good thoughts, all wrapped up in a little silver DVD. And if you get my one, you get the whole year. And I actually with the DVDs of the show archives, which I would recommend getting, Journeys with JP, for the last year. I've had some great guests and some very interesting stuff, from the paranormal, abduction cases, false memory, all that lot. We've had our Shungite lessons, our metaphysical lessons, our electronics and metatronics and all of that stuff all coming up. We've had a great year, and I'd like to thank everybody who's been listening, actually. I got an email. No, I got a phone call from somebody. That's right, I got a phone call from somebody. They called in when I was off air, and, you know, 4 years they've been listening to me, and they'd never called in. It's finally great to hear people's voices. But don't take 4 years. Do come up. You know, I don't buy it. Well, not hard anyway. I'll be available for you if you're interested. I have interesting ways of looking at things, which do tend to, they run counter to the mainstream, but are moving towards the future. Because mainstream is a kind of retrograde motion. And I wish my stove would warm up. It's just not happening at all. It's just like a little, it's like somebody's burning a candle in there. Anyway, so yes, we've had a very interesting year. So you can get them all with a DVD. So get the DVD and select Journeys with JP and have fun. Some people say they can listen to my voice forever. Well, this would be a test, wouldn't it?
Well, I'll attest to the fact that you have some great shows. I mean, the information that I have gleaned from your shows is, the only show I really make sure I listen to is your shows, to be honest.
Oh, bless you. And it's we've, like I said, we've, you know, you and I have been on this, we've held this show together for a few of those shows in the last year. And we just seem to spiral up. You know, there's always some new piece of information that we can bounce between us and come up with some creation of new ways of thinking, and hopefully that help everybody who's listening.
Well, that's why we do it, isn't it? Just to help people.
Yeah.
we don't have any egos involved in this, and that's not, I'm not saying that facetiously. We really don't. We just like to talk to people. We like to talk to each other. We like to share our knowledge, and that is something that's missing from, unfortunately, from the vast amount of people. You got people that are thinking like us, and they have nobody to talk to. At least we have each other. We can talk to each other, you know, all day long, and have different things to say.
Well, that's right. And it's not often, it's not always about what we're saying, but the encoding and the understanding that we say the same thing with. You know, if you got, it's a, there's more layers, there's more understanding if you had some experience and metaphysical experience, and you can say the same phrase, but with such overlaid meaning, because of your understanding.
Plus the fact that we push each other. You know, you'll say something to me that'll make me think about something that I've never thought about before, and I suspect the same thing with you. So we actually do come up with original thinking that we'd never thought about before.
That's right. And this is what I'm saying about spiraling up in these ideas, because we have we're doing what they call a brainstorm on air live. And I suppose that's what, you know, most internet radio is a sort of live brainstorm of ideas and collective, stream of consciousness that is, wrong word, I can't find the word, that is coming through for people, that is, you know, whoever's listening to this needs to listen to this, and they'll get something out of it, even if I don't say anything that appears to be wise or clever or funny. That we have, there's an encoding that comes when, it's the whole thing, when two or three are gathered in my name, is the synergy of people who are together, who are in a soul group. When you hear those people talking together, there's more than those two people there. They bring in the whole wisdom of the group. Which is why we, you know, it's one of the reasons that we do this, because it actually makes us cleverer. The greater the soul group you can channel and represent, then obviously the more intelligence you're representing there as a collective.
Oh, absolutely. And the people that, you know, I've had people go out of their way to say, you know, that I'm making a difference because they're hearing what we're saying. And of course, if I'm making a difference, you are, because most of the time I'm on with you. You know, so yeah, it is. It's like I never forget that there's a live audience out there. Some of my guests have forgotten, but I don't forget, because I really feel like if I can talk to one person who needs to hear just one phrase from me that makes sense, then that makes it all worthwhile. You know, because people don't understand a lot of times, especially you. I mean, boys and girls, this guy is like 24/7 on this radio station, not Revolution, but Wolf Spirit. And he gets a few days off because he's got Colleen Kelly helping him out. But the dedication that Jay has to getting the information to you is what makes me very happy to take the trip with him, because he's just, you are phenomenal, Jay. You're one of a kind. Well, there might be somebody else out there like you, but to me, you're one of a kind. And I so appreciate you as a host, as a producer, and just as a human being who has so many special qualities, particularly your ability to remember things. You know more things about more subjects than we've ever covered. I listen to you talk to somebody else, and I'm going like, he knows that too?
Well, you know, it's like, do I know? Is this knowledge? Is this wisdom? Sometimes I'll speak on an extrapolated wisdom point of view, which is like, if you've got the formula for something and you add the ingredients, then you get consistent results. Or you'll get new results with new ingredients to the formula. But it's that's how I kind of work, really. I don't know. I'm always amazed, for instance, at Sean's ability to remember stuff. And indeed yours. You have you can talk about things that I could never remember. I, you know, I don't remember dates and things. I remember the story, and I remember the gist of things. Now, okay, so Olive has a question, which is, okay, now this is an interesting question, because I'm going to say no to both of those. So the question is Shungite a scam, or is it more an energy rock one can command to do what they want? Okay, so like I said, you know, I kind of disagree with both of them in the way that it's not a scam. No, it is a real thing. It has scientifically, it was almost scientifically prophesied, and then they discovered that this stuff exists on Earth. And is it more an energy rock one can command to do what you want? Well, what we're discovering is it's not an energy rock. It's a piece of consciousness. You know, we're carbon-based life forms. This is carbon in such concentration you could probably get all the carbon molecules of a human being in like a piece of dust or something. You know, that's how much carbon is it. Actually, I'd like to find what statistic that is, but. It's basically a very concentrated form of carbon, and therefore it does have unusual properties. It's not rock. It's not us. Even okay, we say rock, you know, as if rock is dead. There's no such thing as a dead rock. Everything is alive. Everything's conscious. The rock is planetary, right? We're all saying, oh yeah, Gaia, 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 Sophia, Gaia, 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 and yet still kicking around a stone on the street, thinking that, oh, well, that's dead. But Gaia's alive. How can that be? If Gaia is a silicon-based life form, Captain, then we'll have silicon as a part of a conscious process. So nothing is dead, even rock. So I just want to lay that one out. It's a bit like the whole alien extraterrestrial what you call them kind of thing, because apparently using alien is like it's like the N-word, you know. It's apparently it's derogatory, Because they're not alien, they're us. It's like calling, you know, it's like calling your cousin an ugly monster, you know, and they just look just like you. Right. So the whole thing about, so we try not to call them aliens. I don't know, cousins, family, star family. They call them in First Nations. Have to find some good words that aren't derogatory to describe how you would recognize each one of these people. You know.
Well, not to get off the subject area, but the ones that I have met them by seeing the ship, being outside the ship, and telepathically being able to see inside the ship, and also being on the ship as a child. But in all those cases, I felt like I was with family. To get back to the Shungite question, somebody asked me basically the same question, the second question about, you know, well, what is it? Is it some sentient being that you can tell command or whatever? And it, you know, and I said, well, that's not like that. And what I came up with through the download was that, okay, this you have to accept reincarnation, and you have to accept the fact that you've got a soul that is experiencing different life experiences, but that the only thing that needs to separate them is place and space. So theoretically, everybody on the planet could be a projection of one soul. We don't know how many souls there really are. And that cosmic reality, I talk about that. You know, how many souls? You keep making souls every time you make a new baby? It doesn't make sense to me. But more importantly, I have had recollections of lifetimes in another person's body. You know, so I can understand that in any given time, a soul can incarnate in various experiences, and so what you have, if you think in terms of that, you've got a soul, and you've got all these individual personalities out there that are sentient beings that think that they're all by themselves, whereas they're really collected in this whole soul consciousness concept, and that makes sense with Shungite too. There's only one place in the world you can find Shungite of which we talk about. There are traces of fullerenes, the molecule, but Shungite itself comes from 1,000 square miles, about, I don't know, 300 or 400 feet deep. It's laying basically on top of an area that is just east of Finland in Russia. And this mother load of the Shungite is like the soul consciousness. And every single piece of Shungite that comes out of there is like a tiny little individual Shungite. So when we say that it's sentient, it is sentient. I know people that are having really amazing relationships, if you can call it that, with their Shungite, because they can actually almost ask a question and get an answer. But one thing we know about Shungite is Shungite does no evil. So you cannot command it to do anything. It will assist you in manifesting, because in manifestation is just control over energy. And what Shungite does is balance you to a point that your energy field is at its peak, is at its most powerful. That's what Shungite gives you. If you're talking to the Shungite as if it's a little talking rock, yes. But you can't command it to do anything. It will only assist you. That was my response to the question when it was asked to me.
Well, it's a very interesting question. What is rock, stone, wood, plastic, metal? You know, we see these as non-conscious. We see them, they don't say anything, they don't make intelligent remarks, they don't, you know, they don't fall within what our parameters of what a living being is, yet they have consciousness. You know, how many people have gone to their car one morning and it just seems to know? It's just not starting at all. So you go back indoors and you phone the boss and say, oh, I'll come in there tomorrow or something, and then you realize that there was a great big motorway pile up in the that morning that you would have been in. Our computers, you know, I've been an IT engineer for 35 years, more than that, nearly, yeah, since the late 70s. And all through my career, you know, when I actually did work for somebody else, I retired, But all through my career, when I was working with computers, and even still, there are certain personality types, let's put it that way, who make things go wrong, who make machines go wrong. They have a field of consciousness that is, it's like all the alarm bells are ringing. It's like the building's on fire and all the fire alarms are going off. That's just them as they stand there in front of you. So they walk up to your computer, all this energy that's flying around outside it, gets caught into the CPU and boom, it falls over. You know, I noticed it in the 1980s when people first started getting their own personal computers, is that people would influence their machines. I'm not kidding. And probably everybody here would have a story, everybody listening would have a story, where their supposed scientific computer would just not behave the way it should. For whatever reason.
Have you ever had it anticipate what you were about to do? On the computer that I used at the office particularly, and I was spending 8 hours on this computer, and I had it for years. It was a really good, hard-working computer. But I would be doing something, and you know how when you're thinking about what you're writing, and your fingers are just going, you're not even looking at what it's typing or anything else, and you make a mistake, and you don't even see it on the page, but your finger somehow knows you made a mistake, and you stop and you look and you go, oh, I just missed the key there. Well, it was the same sort of thing. I'd be, you know, just, whoops, there that goes. I would be just sitting there, you know, typing out something, and I would hesitate, and I would be thinking about the next thing I was going to do, and all of a sudden it was doing it. My fingers were, like, not even touching it. It was, like, coming up on the screen. And, you know, it would stop me because it was such an odd thing, but it was like, it was the only one computer that I got into that relationship, and it was only on one program. It was WordPerfect. But it would actually, I would stop my typing, but it was almost like my brain was going through what I would have been typing, and the computer just did it without my fingers moving. And it happened so often that I actually got kind of, like, used to it. You know, I was used to it, and if it didn't work, I was like, ooh, what happened? Where was I?
Okay, so here's another very, very good question from Olive. How do we know that Shungite has our interests at heart? And my first response is that our interests, or the interests of life, what is good and what is evil? You know, if you regard something that is good as something that is nice to you, and something that is evil is something that is not so nice to you, you know, is that a good judgment to stand by? Nancy, do you think Shungite has our interests at heart, or is there something higher?
I think that Shungite is the heart of Gaia, and I believe that Gaia is the creative consciousness, a God consciousness, if you will, in that it was able to create this entire biosphere that we call Earth. Do I think that there is anything that could possibly... You cannot make Shungite do something that is contrary to the will of Gaia, in my opinion. And I've been working with this stuff probably longer than most anybody, not so much because of the years put into it, but because of the amount of time I spend with it. I've got it all over the place, and I have asked it to do innumerable things, and it has never failed me. It does things that I wouldn't expect it to be able to do, and I've been in the mineral business since the late 80s. I know what this stuff does. So, no, there's no way that Shungite is anything except a incredible, incredible, ingenious gift from Gaia. And I am so strong about this that I want to point out to people a little interesting thing that you'll remember. I said it when it was happening. Back in the end of 2010, they had a lot of people out there talking about the event. Cobra was one of them. I don't even remember all the others, but they all were talking about the event, Capitals, you know. But nobody seemed to be able to provide any real details to it. But they all knew it was coming, and they all would give a date, and they'd all give different dates. And none of those dates ever came up with the event. But at the end of 2013, I noticed that they were starting to focus on the same time frame, that everybody that was talking about it was looking at the spring of 14. And so the spring of 14 comes along, and we're introduced to Shungite. I'm telling you, Shungite is the event. Nobody has said the word since. Nobody has promised it's on its way since. It happened. It is the event. And everything that you might have perceived as being the event, Shungite does. But it does more than we would have even expected. So, you know, no, you don't have to fear that it can ever be used for anything but good, because it was basically that, the way I see it, and I write about it again in the book, it's about the conscious development of Gaia herself. If you've got this molten thing of gas that's just rotating outside of the sun, and that is one kind of consciousness level, and then it becomes a molten kind of thing, and that's another consciousness level, and then the consciousness level wants to have more experience, so it decides, well, maybe we'll make this thing called life, and so you have microbial life on the planet. I believe that at that instant, the instant that this revolving and developing consciousness that ended up becoming the creator consciousness of Gaia, or started out as that, it made a decision to have life, and when it did, it called in Shungite. I believe that the basis for life, both energetically and chemically, came in those molecules, those fullerene molecules that the scientists now are realizing can be used to transport not only other molecules, but in fact, gases. So I believe at that instant that that's when Shungite came to crashed into this molten, because it was 2 billion to 4 billion years ago when the planet would have been molten. There's no other way of explaining how this stuff could have been manufactured on the planet. The only place the scientists know it can be manufactured is in a vacuum, like the vacuum of outer space. And you and I have both talked about the fact that maybe it came from a black hole. Or, you know, maybe the issue issued from a black hole at some point.
Yes, or it may be something that all... Okay, so let's look at... let's kind of zoom back a bit. In the idea that, you know, if you look at a galaxy looks like a pinwheel. The firework that has stuff spraying out of both ends, that are held at an angle, so the thing spins. And when we look at stars and all of these quasars and pulsars and all these things, they all seem to have the same form, which is something that's squirting out both ends and spinning. So if we kind of scale that up, because we know that nature's fractal in its nature, that it is fractal, that if you have a galaxy spitting out stars, then stars will spit out planets and planets will spit out moons. That's the way my logic is working with this. And so if you have if you've got a material that contains the encoding and the materials that you'll need to create life and beings, well, what happens? What, you know, is that not what, you know, that's what creation is? And that's what I keep thinking that Shungite is like a the seed of life. It's like a stock cube. Everyone has seen the beginning of Prometheus, where that guy, he takes the elixir and then he kind of crumbles into molecules, his DNA, everything comes apart, so that he disperses himself into the world. Well, what if that's what these things are? Maybe I keep getting the picture of like a big lump of this stuff that is grabbed by a bunch of ETs and then thrown down at a planet. You know, they see this stuff kind of floating around this place like a kind of big sort of cosmic chunk of stuff, and then they throw it down to a latent planet, and it's like planting seeds. It breaks up and goes in the rivers and spreads all over the planet.
Well, to that point, I was reading one article, and they have actually believed that the beginning of life happened in that same area, that the microbial development of life and then everything that happened after that actually started in that same area. Now, that could be a figment of somebody's imagination, but the document itself was highly credentialed.
So they chuck this stuff down and wait. And it's a bit like, well, this will take a couple of billion years. We'll come back then, you know. You know, it goes round, around, around the galaxy. You know, however 100 million years it takes to go around there and all that stuff. And eventually it starts seeding with the consciousness that is coming from the galaxy. Because that's what, you know, I believe that our consciousness, the galaxy is the like, let's take it the other way. What people think is of our mind more than likely exists outside of us, literally outside of our bodies, as a field that sort of, you know, if you imagine the atmosphere of the air of the planet, is kind of sits outside of the planet. So that our mind sits outside of us like an atmosphere, which is how we can transmit thoughts and things. And that when you bring things into its field, you will imbue them with consciousness. If you take a wedding ring to a person called a psychometrist, I don't know if you've heard of this, psychometrist, psychometrist, somebody who meters psycho, somebody who can measure science. So basically, psychometrist is somebody who can take a ring or a thing and will be able to tell you all the psychic imprints that that thing has had. So how do you get the psychic imprint? You know, there's a field of vibration around you. This is what we call our mind, or our mind field. Our mental body exists slightly in and slightly out of our bodies. And so that's how we can have lofty thoughts. Our mind, you know, they can go up high. So combining the consciousness of Hunab-Ku with the physical... Hello. With the physical shungite, perhaps that's the spark that gets this stuff going.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. I'm more tending towards this commitment and belief that there is a creator god named Gaia that called it in. You know, more so than imbuing it with its own consciousness, that it was like almost like a sub-program creation. Gee, I need to get this life thing started, so give me that stuff that's got all this great thing in it. You know, it's like the ingredients to whatever you're making. And boom, there it is. Because if we're right that Shungite had something to do with the beginning of life on this planet, it is so ironic and so magical and mystical that right now Shungite should be so much critical to us creating a new reality. It's almost like we've been given the opportunity to do it all over again. And why? Because Shungite takes away the total control of the electromagnetic and the Wi-Fi systems that are designed to communicate, yes, but on the other side of it, they've been programmed with all these other sub-programs that allow them to control the population. And Shungite simply takes that awful negative wave and transmutes it into a positive wave that, even though they may still be trying to feed your mind with all this sub-programming, your receptor, your own human body, your own human mind, is now in a Shungite field that is keeping it in a state of etheric balance and is keeping you in a mentally connected position to your higher self. Because why? The Shungite causes the microcalcites, crystals in the brain, to actually start to vibrate, even if there's a lot of fluoride in it, the gunk from fluoride. So once that thing starts to vibrate, and vibrate really strongly, you have a connection to your higher self. You're now linked in again. You're now more powerful, but mostly you have this feeling of gee, I feel connected. I feel like I'm not alone. It's a definite feeling, but it's also a realization of this connectedness. And most people will define that as being happy. The number one thing that I have heard from everybody, and I mean hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people have Shungite because it was brought to me by Gaia. And those people, all those people, the number one thing they say is, I don't know if it's doing anything, but I got to tell you, I'm happier since it got into my life. I'm happier. Why are you happier? Because you feel connected and you feel balanced. So we have been given an opportunity to really start a new level of reality, if reality is what we think it is. And yes, I said that, but now there's a slew of scientific information indicating that. Because there was a slew of scientific indicators before that, if you were somebody who I like I was, that got interested in quantum physics. And they realized very quickly at the quantum level that your mind will affect at the quantum level. It affects every outcome. They do an experiment and they realize that depending on what they thought the end result would be, that's what they were getting. Their minds were controlling the experiment at the quantum level. Well, knowing that doesn't take very much to realize that if at the quantum level the mind is more powerful than the quantum universe, then my God, what is this mind at the 3D universe that we've been told is a nothing thing and you are nobody and you shouldn't want and da-da-da-da-da. No, we are incredibly powerful entities, but they have kept that secret from us. And that's what I hope we're bringing people. You know, the idea that you're in control of your own reality. You know, think of how you want to be and be it. It's really very simple if they would stop lying to you, if they would stop you from being immobilized by the fear that they show you over television and by the fact that they have got you at the electromagnetic radio frequency way of controlling your brain, of always continually keeping your brain jammed up, of getting you on an edge that is then fueled by fear. So that's what they're doing to you. And Shungite comes along and says, oh, don't worry about it. We're just going to reverse the field, and now it's going to be healing and enlightening, and they're not going to be able to do this to you. And not only that, but they're in jeopardy because the evil positioning that they've put in being better than the rest of us, that's in jeopardy. Because Shungite's going to work on them like it's working on everybody else. And yes, they may be a bigger hill to climb because they've been doing a lot of evil things with the wrong attitude. I don't think that these people are necessarily this basic evil energy. I think that they have these thoughts that are kind of screwed up in their heads that makes them justify evil. And they're going to be subjected to the Shungite too. So the new reality is there, and the only thing we have to do is get Shungite to the masses. Get it out there. Let that magic happen. I mean, they call it a miracle mineral in Russia. They say that it's the 21st century medicine. They say it's going to be worth more than gold. And they've been looking at it for 30 years. We've been looking at it for what? Since the spring of last year.
So this is it. The mission, if we so wish to continue it, is to bring it out. So to that end, we have been, personally, you and I have been working as a distribution point for Shungite suppliers because, well, if it comes from Russia, Russia is exactly as you imagine it. So if you want a parcel from Russia, you're going to have to wait. And you have to wait weeks and weeks. And it's like you get to the point where you give up on it. You think, oh, no, I'm going to have to order some more because this ain't coming. And it usually comes the next day when you get to that impatient point. We can save you that hassle because we have Shungite in stock. We've got all kinds of Shungite pieces. We'll talk a little bit about all the different things you can get, but for one, there are, you know, there are ways of making this into, of working it into quite normal things. You know, discs and pieces of shungite can be easily glued on to the back of, say, a mobile phone. And you can get mobile phone shungite protectors, which is about a small disc, about 3/4 of an inch wide across and about 3 millimeters thick. And all sorts of things that are made with the raw pieces or that are made with polished pieces and all kinds of things like that. If you go to Nancy's website, which is cosmicreality.net, Nancy supplies, well, she'll supply all over the world, but much quicker in the States. You can get it to the, she can get anything to you in 2 days, probably from where she is in Florida. And likewise, I can do the same for Britain and potentially for Europe. So I have some triangles and some pieces that work as pendants. I've also got various other devices. And indeed, so Shungite Arts and Healings. We're bringing that online soon. She's going to have her own website. Wolf Baby, my girlfriend, is having... she has her own site of pieces that she makes by wrapping wire and using solder in a creative way to make these beautiful pendants of shungite that that are arty, and it's a great big piece of shungite. I mean, it's like what is it? It's like about 30 grams a piece. That is like 30 grams. He's hanging. That's about an ounce of shungite hanging around your neck. That creates such a field. What do you normally in a pendant, Nancy? What's your normal sort of field size, and what sort of piece you know, what sort of weight of shungite do you use in a pendant on your side of things?
Well, what we do is we get the raw pieces, the pieces that have not gone through any kind of machining, like the tumbled ones that go through a tumbler, and that's machining. Because of my history in the mineral business, I knew that without a doubt every stone that was taken from the earth was much more powerful than after it was faceted or put in, you know, in any way, shape, or form machined, except for garnet. Now, garnet is the one that when you take it out of the ground, it's very dull, its field is, but when you put it in, when you actually cut it, facet it, that you have a much greater field. But that's the only stone I ever met. So it didn't take me long. The first ones I got were the machined ones. They were pendants. And I said, if this field is this strong in this shape, then we got to get the raw ones because it's got to be that much better. And so I finally was able to get a hold of the raw ones, and I was correct at that. Now, the other thing that we do is we take... enameled copper, which means that it comes in different colors, silver, gold, purple, black, charcoal, bronze, and that copper is really what you're dealing with, but because it's enamel and therefore glass, it's doesn't affect the circuitry at all. It's really basically your copper wire. So you take that and you wrap it, you spiral it around the shungite. And what happens is the spiral, as we know, that's so critical into so much of everything, intensifies the field. So I know from having taken a pendant and bringing it into, like, a router in a house that had not had any shungite in it, I gave the pendant to my friend, and I said, put it on your router. And I don't know what she thought, but she got kind of, like, nasty about, what do you mean, part? I said, just place it on your router. And she went, oh, okay. And so when she got, and I had a friend of mine standing next to me, when she got 4 inches away from it, the field jumped. We felt it change. And my friend said to me, did you feel that? And I said, yeah. And I was carefully watching her. It was 4 inches. And I have tested it, so it's at least a 4-inch field off of one pendant. Now, one pendant. If you were wearing 3 pendants, then you'd have, you know, 3 times exponentially beyond that of a field. That's why most people, when they get, well, I won't say most people, but the people that are really into the shungite, they're wearing all sorts of shungite.
I've got a piece of it's a machine piece, because you know I just like a sci-fi
fanboy, really. I like things that are geometric. I don't know why. In all sci-fi, they have geometric articles in their rooms, like pyramids and tetrahedrons and things like that. And it's, like, really futuristic, isn't it, when you have these things? And that's the sort of thing I like. I like just very plain objects. I like plain colors. But that's because I'm who I am. You know, people like patterns. I find patterns annoying. But anyway, slightly overstimulating, I think. But where was I? But talking about having these different forms. So, yeah, I've got these triangles and I've got some circles as well. So, like, these are little pendants. The triangle ones are great. For instance, if you're a couple, you can get a his and hers, because there's obviously a triangle with the point going upwards is regarded as male, and a triangle with the point going downwards is regarded as female. I won't, you just use your imagination, I won't go into why, but that's very standard, very common, all throughout ancient history and up to today. So when you bring the two together, they form the Star of David, or the interpenetrating star tetrahedron form, which is what we call the Merkaba. So that's the sacred relationship, the tantric relationship between the two triangles. And so that's something that you can get. I'm selling those. You can get those from Ever Beyond Radio. So yeah, everbeyondradio.com. I've got all these amazing things, including the nice jewelry from my girlfriend, and things that I've been making. Nancy's been talking about things that she's been working with Walt. I've got a few of those things similarly. Again, available for British British orders, really, or European orders, because, you know, just because we're on the other side of the Atlantic. If anybody wants stuff like that, they can get them from Walt as well. He's got Shungite devices. These are devices that involve a sort of metatronic or radionic or vibratory principles, but then adding Shungite into the mix. Gives it another octave of clarity and of energetics. What do you think, Dance?
Many octaves higher. Walt can tell you the science, but when you add, well, to give you an example, when you have an electric circuit and you cut the electric circuit and then you put Shungite to fill in that circuit, the electric signal will run four times faster than normal electricity. So you're talking at least four times faster in every situation that you put the Shungite. And depending on the situation, it could be quite a bit more than that. And I really don't want you to think that I am putting down your product because it might be machined. Because when they machine it into different shapes, then you have the added field of the shape. Every shape, every geometry has a different field. And when they get into doing the art kind of things with the totems, with the bear and I don't know what else they got out there, then you are calling forth the energy of that particular animal. So you may sort of like dampen the Shungite's natural field by machining, but by putting it into a different form, you are increasing the field in a different way. Does that make sense?
That's right. Well, you have one of the things that the Russian supply companies sell is a small pyramid, maybe about an inch and a half on the base, with sticky back tape on the bottom of it, and it says for car drivers. You know, so basically, they supply, and they know these things work. They supply a pyramid that you stick to your dashboard that keeps you calm in your driving.
Well, in Russia, that would make sense, because in Russia they have...
You've seen the way they drive, yeah.
Well, yeah, they have so many accidents that it's virtually required to have a webcam on your dash. That's why when that comet blew up over the, or the meteorite blew up over Russia, they had so many camera-recordings, videos of it, because everybody drives around with a video cam thing on your car so you can tell who is responsible for the accident.
Yeah,
so that's got to be important to have a pyramid there. I will say one thing, though, that I did order a pyramid from the store, and it came and it was not squared. You turn them over, you see the square. If the square's not there, they're out. And this was considerably out of spec.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Because I'm looking at these things, and they are. Then I don't think they are machined. I think they're actually cut by hand, really nicely, by pretty skilled workers. And the one that you got was probably not so skilled.
That would make sense.
Because
you're in a machine thing, it would have been exact.
That's right. They would have. They probably have got jigs and templates so that you cut at the right angle and things like that. And it was just one that was off.
They also have vodka.
They have had what? So it depends on what day and what time of day. Well, who's to say? But what day and what time of day? So you might have got a Friday afternoon machine after the Friday lunch extravaganza.
Yeah,
just thinking about going home. Yeah. So anyway,
to me, it was a message from Gaia saying, "Don't bother with this." So I said, "Fine."
All right.
What we do also have is the Bucky Band-Aids that you put on your cell phone that I think work much better than the plates. You have got to build yourself some and test it out yourself.
You know, I think that is part of it. It's the actual interaction. It's not like it's a machine. And I think this is something that, we'll just fill in the last minute. Shunga is alive. You have to treat it like a person and not
You're
a thing.
You're breaking up.
Right. Oh, there we go. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you so much, Nancy, for coming on and helping me think.
Love you, Jay. Be safe.
Love you, Tay.
Night,
thanks
everybody.
Very much, Nancy. Bye now. Bye, everybody.
Love Talk Radio.